Since August 1st, 1874, the Sisters of the Perpetual Adoration have been constantly praying in La Crosse. The order's first and so far only African-American Franciscan sister, Thea Bowman, passed away 25 years ago. This year, her fellow nuns, former students, and friends are remembering a woman who fought for civil rights and used music to enrich her faith. Maureen McCollum introduces us to this remarkable Wisconsin woman.
What does it mean to be black in the church and society?
For Sister Thea Bowman, it meant being an educator, a preacher, a scholar, a singer, a woman devoted to God, all while being charming and incredibly charismatic. Sister Thea was born a Protestant in Mississippi in 1937, the granddaughter of slaves. She boldly told her parents at age 12 that she wanted to convert to Catholicism. At 15, she moved north to La Crosse to attend St. Rose Convent and study at what is known today as Viterbo University. As a Franciscan Sister of Perpetual Adoration, she dedicated her life to civil rights. She worked to empower the black community while educating others about African Americans' history and experience.
What does it mean to be black and Catholic? It means that I bring myself, my black self, all that I am, all that I have, all that I hope to become. I bring my whole history, my traditions, my experience, my culture, my African-American song and dance and gesture and movement and teaching and preaching and healing and responsibility as gift to the church.
Sister Thea brought songs to the Catholic Church that were ingrained in her roots. She helped create the first hymnal that included gospel music. These songs were more than praise. She sang them to get her point across.
We shall overcome. Y'all get up. Oh, we shall overcome.
In the late 1950s, Sister Thea began teaching at a Catholic elementary school in La Crosse, a rare position for an African-American woman at that time. She spent years moving around the world and returned to La Crosse in the early 70s to chair the English department at Viterbo. Dr. Deborah Pembleton was a former student of Sister Thea's in Mississippi during the late 60s and is now a professor in Minnesota. She and her friends were inspired by the nun from their hometown to leave their small community. Pembleton says every time Sister Thea visited her school, her classmates felt empowered.
We were given strict instructions by the sisters, of course, to be on our best behavior when she came. And when she came, you wouldn't necessarily say that she was on her best behavior. Because she would be rollicking with laughter. I mean, her whole body would just embrace the music.
Not only did Sister Thea work to improve life for African Americans in the Catholic Church, but she brought people of all cultures together.
I can introduce my black friends to my Hispanic friends, to my Anglo friends, to my Asian friends, to my native friends. I can be the bridge over troubled water. I can take you by the hand and take you with me into the black community. I can walk with you into your community. I don't walk as a stranger. I walk as your sister.
Sister Thea Bowman died of cancer in 1990 at age 52. Many people will say she was a saint, but she's not an official one in the eyes of the Catholic Church. For years, there's been casual chatter about canonizing Sister Thea, but no group has officially pursued the idea.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
Joining us now to talk more about the life of Sister Thea Bowman is Sister Charlene Smith. She's the author of Thea's song, The Life of Thea Bowman. Sister Charlene, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So this young African-American nun from Mississippi moves to Wisconsin, shakes things up. It sounds like a movie script almost. What do we know about how she was received by the local community and how she saw them?
Well, she was received, as you would imagine, back in 1953 in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It was mostly Germanic white people and Irish people. There were two or three African-Americans living here. When she decided to come to La Crosse to be a religious sister, her parents were very opposed to that. In fact, they said, you can't go. They were more interested in her having, in their having grandchildren. So Thea began a fast, and when her parents realized that she was really serious about it, they relented. But her father said, why don't you go to New Orleans and join an African-American group of religious women? And Thea said no, she was more interested. She wanted to be a Franciscan Sister of Perpetual Adoration, because she had been taught by them during her grade school and early high school years. So she went north, and it was severe culture shock, but she masked that. She did everything that she could to submerge her own black culture, because she wanted to be the very best sister she could be, and she was. She went through her formative years very successfully. She came to the convent in 1953, and I came in 1954, and I remember the first time I saw her. At that time, it was the custom of the religious sisters to have some spiritual reading done while they were enjoying their evening meal. And I thought to myself, well, isn't that interesting? The nuns are having blacks doing their reading. I found out very quickly that the nuns did not have blacks doing their reading. It was Bertha Bowman who was ready to become a Franciscan sister, just like I wanted to be. We both wanted to be Franciscans, we both wanted to major in English, and we both wanted to teach, and we did that.
Now, you said that initially she submerged her African-American culture in her religious life, but obviously that's not the end of the story, because she ended up bringing it to the nuns and the community at large. So what changed? When did she turn the corner?
You're very perceptive, Veronica. What happened was the Franciscans realized that she was a gifted woman, and so they educated her all the way through master's degree and PhD. They sent her to the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., and for the first time in her life, Sister Thea saw very successful professional African-Americans in all walks of life. They were in government, they were in academia, they were in business, and she thought, well, isn't that interesting? Blacks can be successful. I'm black. I can be as successful as they are by being my own African-American self. And so she, from that time on, she gloried in her own culture. And as you said in the introduction, she shared her culture with everybody she met. She was a very successful college teacher at what is now the Turbo University. In 1978, she went back to Canton, Mississippi, because her parents were aging and she wanted to help take care of them. And while she was there, the bishop of the Diocese of Jackson asked her to head a new office called Intercultural Awareness, and he wanted her to go throughout the state of Mississippi and share the African-American culture in the Catholic Church. And she did that. She was very successful. Wherever she went, she sang, and she preached her African-American style of liturgy. And she not only did it in Mississippi, she went to Alabama and Louisiana and Texas and South Carolina and all points in the United States. And she was very instrumental in getting African-American culture into the Catholic liturgy.
And you mentioned, yeah, her singing. I don't think of gospel music usually associated with the Catholic Church. Did her parishioners, her students, take to that?
Oh, they certainly did. We all do. Too bad you weren't here on March 30th in La Crosse, Wisconsin, at our chapel. We had an African-American priest who had been one of Thea's students, and we had the Viterbo Concert College Choir singing African songs, and the whole church erupted in song and dance and clapping along with that old-time religion. It was really very wonderful. Thea was a very gifted person, and she was an outstanding singer. I often thought, as I sat beside her in chapel or other places while there was singing going on, here I am sitting next to somebody who has the voice of an opera star. And I remember when she went back to Mississippi, she began to travel over the United States, and at that time I was in Washington, D.C. myself, working on an international religious office. And I remember one evening she was in town to do a speech, and we had been invited to the hotel before dinner, and we were early, so we went to the lounge, and there was a piano player from Argentina, playing selections from Porgy and Bess, and she got up and she began to sing Summertime. Mm. And I remember saying to the people sitting beside me, I never saw that woman before in my life. But after she finished, she got a standing ovation. So, of course, I said, well, yeah, that's Bowman.
We heard in the piece that there are those who call her a saint. Is that a figure of speech, or are there people who associate miracles with her?
Well, there are some people who associate miracles with her. It's true. We have not furthered her cause for canonization in our community because we are of the opinion, and a lot of people agree with us, that Sister Thea would rather have us spend all the money that takes for canonization to be spent on education, especially on education of the African-American students. However, the African-American black Catholics have proclaimed her a saint by proclamation, unofficially, of course, but a lot of people consider her to be very saintly. And she was my good friend, and I'm just amazed that I knew somebody that people call saintly.
Sister Charlene, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Sister Charlene Smith, the author of Thea's Song, The Life of Thea Bowman.